Hey, everybody! Today we're going to Vulture City in our episode, but we're going there next week, actually. So today we're going to talk about the history and some of the things we might expect. Hi, welcome to True Creeps, where the stories are true and the creeps are real. We'll cover stories from grotesque gore to the possibly plausible paranormal, to horrifying history, to tense and terrible true crime, and everything else that goes bump in the night. We're your hosts, Amanda.
And I'm Lindsay, and we want you to join us while we creep.
We cover mature topics. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey, everybody. Today, we're talking about Vulture City, Arizona, which you're like, that's such a random place for you guys to be talking about. And you're right, it is. But the reason that we're talking about it, particularly this week, is because next week, Amanda and I are headed there with our little spooky tribal group.
Yeah, we're so excited.
We are very excited. And so I didn't really know too much about this one, but this one's near Amanda. So I'm assuming that she was like elbows deep in Vulture information before that.
So surprise, everyone's coming to Arizona.
Yay.
Escaping the cold.
Yeah, I'm actually excited for the Arizona heat, which I never thought I would say, but I am cold all of the time.
Well, you're going to exchange it for being hot and annoyed.
Well, you know what? Joke's on you, because I've already been eyeing up my little summer dresses, and I was like, I can wear a summer dress and not, like, literally two pairs of socks and two pairs of pants.
Yikes. Ew, I hate socks. I hate them so much.
I do, too. And yet I must.
Well, it's going to be, I think it was, like, 90 today. It's supposed to cool down this weekend. Hopefully, we'll get, like, a little cooler.
Mm.
But, yeah, it'll be nice and warm. It's summer here year-round.
It is summer there year-round. It's apparently just perpetual and endless winter here, which...
Yeah, it's summer and then hell and then summer again.
I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
A treat. Well, let's get right on into the history of Vulture City. So the city was founded in 1863 because Henry Wickenburg had found a gold vein. And there's a few different stories about Henry found this gold, none of which are great, honestly. They don't picture Henry in a great way. But here we are. So first, the first one is that he was following some vultures. Typical Arizona pastimes.
That's what I do every day.
Yeah, she's just following vultures, you know? And so he's following these vultures and he sees, quote, a quartz outcropping glittering with gold. Okay.
Oh.
Oh, sure. In another variation, he threw a rock at a burrow and he missed, and that rock hit another rock. And inside that other rock was gold. I don't like that story.
Also, don't throw rocks at burrows.
Yeah, don't throw rocks at any creatures. I just think that's a bad idea. And you shouldn't be, like, lucky if you do so.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay, and then the last one. He saw a bunch of quartz and knew there was gold near quartz. So he was like, here's the place. And in this variation, he was almost starving, so there were vultures circling overhead. And thus, Vulture City. So... Okay, man. Bizarre.
Makes sense.
But here we are. So Vulture City, I'm just going to say, it seemed pretty untenable the entire time. It never seemed like it was a fun, warm, or cozy place to live.
It was always warm.
It was always warm.
In a different way.
But just warm in the kind of way that's like, am I in hell? Because it was just a bad time overall.
Yes.
Water and food had to be transported from the Hacienda settlement, which was about 15 miles away. And... when prospectors did start to try to do their own farming and their families, they started trying to farm the native lands in ways that were affecting the native population's ability to gather food. So that, plus them stealing the land from native populations, there was people living in this area using this land beforehand. This seems like a very reasonable reason for those two populations to clash, right?
Yeah.
And then you add on top of that, that at this time in California, they were offering bounties to people who brought the scalps of Native Americans. So it's not too surprising that there may have been some like zealous defending of their land on the part of the Native populations.
Yeah.
So despite this conflict, Vulture City still continued to grow around that mine. Stamping mills were brought in so that the ore could be refined. The Swilling and Irrigation Canal Company supplied food and water to newcomers to Vulture City. And Wickenburg, and this was financed in part by Henry. By the late 1800s, Vulture City was home to almost 5,000 people, and it had lots of buildings, including, you know, the usual a blacksmith shop, a general store, saloons, brothels, a boarding house, and a schoolhouse. All the essentials.
What else do you need?
What else do you need? There's some more buildings when it came to also like the mine and like the things necessary to run a mine. But when you're thinking of life in Vulture City, those are the buildings that people talk about pretty often.
Right.
So to make matters worse, the gold that was mined in Vulture City had to be taken to Wickenburg to be smelt. And the wagons were often robbed along the way, which honestly...
By who?
Honestly, everybody who could. There's not highwaymen because there's not highways. It's desertmen here. Also, some of the people who were committing the robberies would disguise themselves as somebody who was from the native population. So that way they thought it was just a random act of aggression. They weren't like, this is a robbery. Even though I feel like if the person who's robbing you is like, give me the gold.
Perhaps it's robbery.
Perhaps it's more robbery than just like cultural conflict.
Do you think the horses were evil, though, is the biggest question.
Oof. I don't think so. I don't think so. I think the horses were just like trying their best and they were like, I would like some water and the only way I can get it is via this transport, whether like the person riding me has nefarious intent or not. I'm not going to blame the horses here.
Well, no.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's where we came up with the evil horses.
Yeah, from highwaymen. But this is desertmen. So, so there was a practice that was called high grading that was also pretty common. And basically, this is when the person who was grading the gold would keep the best stuff rather than turning them in. And some believe that the Lost Dutchman mine was never actually real. And instead, it was just a cover for Jacob Walzer to be able to sell the gold that he stole from Vulture City.
Interesting.
And it's not going to be too surprising why he may have been stealing gold from Vulture City when we talk about how much gold there was there in just a moment. Now, in 1866, Wickenburg sold his shares of the mine, and he regretted doing so for his entire life. He only got about $20,000 of the $85,000 sale price because the buyers disputed his ownership. And then he used that money that he did get on legal fees to try to get the remaining money, but he never got it.
Woof.
So, because this is so old, a lot of the not Henry Wickenburg stuff that we're going to talk about is kind of like legend. But we saw this particular story in several sources, so we feel pretty sure that this happened. But in 1923, employees who were working after hours so that they could keep what they mined caused a cave-in. There was about 100 feet of rock that collapsed on top of those miners, and in total, 7 men and 12 donkeys died. And where it caved in, there was an indentation in the hill that was caused. And they named it something that means something very different now. And they named it... the glory hole, which it's hard to take it as seriously when it's called that, but it is very sad that was a cave-in. And I would just imagine that people weren't making a lot of money working in those mines. So if you're doing that backbreaking labor, I could kind of see being like, we're going to come in here and chip away a little for ourselves too. I'm not saying that they should. I'm just like, ugh, no winning here.
Exactly. Now, a new vein may have been discovered in 1930 when a builder found gold. Some suspect that he may have been trying to drum up business as a builder and perhaps inflated his findings. The next year, the Vulture Mining Company confirmed a new vein in an exploratory shaft that had been mined. It was about 450 feet deep.
Damn.
Which is how many 12-year-old boys deep?
109.09 12-year-old boys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now I can picture.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. This isn't a confirmed fact, as some sources vary on whether this is even true. All non-essential mining operations were shut down by the United States government in 1942, and this was during World War II, and it was a way to conserve resources for warfare. The town's population abruptly declined as a result. So, like, if you're not mining, what's the point in living in the middle of the desert where it's hot and horrible?
Right? Amanda, that's the question I'm asking you all the time.
I know. I guess I better start mining.
Let your child know.
What a ridiculous thing. I couldn't even go in the mine, as we talked about. There's too many bugs.
No, too many bugs.
Ultimately, 340,000 ounces of gold were mined in Vulture City, and 260,000 ounces of silver were mined there. Today, gold is worth $5,360 per ounce. So the gold that was found there would be worth about $1.8 billion. And not too surprising then that this is the richest gold mine in Arizona.
I mean, damn.
That's a lot of gold. The property changed hands a few times, but before the restoration efforts, which we'll discuss in a moment, the last sale was in 1970 to John and Marge Osborne. They owned a menswear store in Scottsdale, and they lived in the mine supervisor's home.
That seems super fucking weird, right? Doesn't that feel super fucking weird? I'm not, like, look, I love the idea of a quirky and kitschy home, but can you imagine one of your friends is like, oh yeah, we just bought an old mine. We're living there now. I'd be into it. I would go visit, but it is a bizarre thing to do. It's not the weirdest thing.
It's not the weirdest thing. I mean, it's cool to own a part of history, I think, like a historical place.
Again, I don't disagree with you, but it is a bizarre place because it's, again, it's not a place that you look at and you're like, I bet this was comfy. I bet this was a place that people like to live. At the time when we're recording this, we don't know what the mine supervisor's home looked like. Maybe we'll get there and we'll be like, well, hot damn, I'd live here too.
Yeah, I mean, I've been there a handful of times and I've taken one tour, but it was a little while ago and there's a lot of buildings, like we mentioned, and a lot of them are still standing. So there's a lot of history for each building and some of the buildings changed into different things throughout the years. So let's talk about the restoration. In 2012, three investors, including Rod Pratt, acquired the property where Vulture City, including the Vulture Mines, were located. Originally, they were hoping to find more gold in the mine. By 2017, the property was sold, and the new owner didn't have plans to preserve the town. Rob Pratt and Robin Moriarty negotiated to carve off 35 acres from the sale to preserve the city. The restoration of the town, led by Robin and Rob, included volunteers, historians, and tradespeople, and it took 8 years. They used photographs, maps, and engineering records to rebuild the structures that had deteriorated over time. And we're going to talk about Waldo Twitchell in a moment, but his photos were essential in the restoration efforts. His photos are considered the most complete visual record of Vulture City, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Some of the structures that were repaired were the cookhouse, the assay office, blacksmith shop, schoolhouse, and brothel. And especially that blacksmith shop, when you go there, like, it looks like they just ended for the day.
Oh, I love that.
Like, it's still going. We didn't know what an assay office was, so we did look into it. An assay is the process that is used to determine the ratio of precious metals in ore. This lets them know the concentration of the gold or silver in or near the gold vein. So it's just seeing how good it is.
Yeah, I don't think I really realized necessarily that what ore was and why people gave a hoot about it, especially like if you've ever played Settlers of Catan, you're like, I need ore and I need gold to build my settlements and to upgrade them. But I wasn't like, I understand this fully. Mm-hmm. And actually, I can't remember. Now I'm debating, is it gold or corn? I think it's corn in my head, but it might not be. But I know it's definitely ore. Because you need ore, lamb, wood, brick. I think it's corn. There needs to be a food in there other than lamb. That's clothing too. Anyway, Settlers of Catan chat. All I'm saying is that I was like, I don't know what ore is. And so that's one of the reasons why we also looked into what Nisei was. Because we were like, what? How is gold gotten?
The only thing I think of is Minecraft. And Ollie coming up to me being like, I need more gold ore. I need more whatever ore. And I'm like, okay. Cool.
He's like, I'm ready to mine. I understand it. Mm-hmm. I understand mine.
Minecraft taught him a lot about different ores.
I love that for him. A budding geologist.
So there is a landmark in Vulture City that's still there, and it's called the Hanging Tree. And this is where 18 men were executed after they were accused of stealing gold. And we'll talk a little bit more about that Hanging Tree in a little bit.
So, like I said earlier, there's not a really robust historical record of every single individual that lived there, like you do get with some older cities. Really, it's mostly what you're seeing from people who lived there or somebody who's really famous, like Henry Wickenburg. And Amanda mentioned him earlier, but Waldo Twitchell, he's pretty pivotal when it comes to understanding the history and what things look like in Vulture City. He was in his early 20s when he worked at the Vulture City mine from just 1912 to 1914. And he was a mining engineer, an assayer, and an amateur photographer. He was responsible for analyzing the ore samples, so figuring out what the concentration of precious metals was. Everywhere he went, he carried his camera with him, and he photographed what daily life in Vulture City was like. So they got these pictures of normal daily life that people don't really always commit to photos and stuff like that because it seems so ordinary. But in addition to his photos, one of the things that he did was he would like there would be the photo, and then he would describe what was going on, but also technically. So you would understand like what the machinery was. And then he included his own personal reflections. And his photos include some of the other residents too. So a school teacher named Miss Hamill, Peter Babovich, aka Mr. Pete, who was the mine caretaker, Leslie B., who worked in the assay lab, as well as even pictures of Henry Wickenburg. And I just think it's so interesting that sometimes as an individual, a person's just like, I'm just recording my life for posterity. And here we are over 100 years later. We depended on this to be able to understand what the world looked like. And I don't know. I think that like journaling generally is such a lovely practice because it helps you get like emotions out, but it also helps you chronicle your own life so that you remember all of the good and amazing and little things that happened every day that maybe you aren't storing in long-term memory because it's not that exciting that you had a really good energy drink that day. But in the grand scheme of things, I think it's kind of great to be able to look back at a portion of your life and know exactly what it was like and to be able to say like, oh, 10 years ago, this is what it felt like to live in the world where we were in, where it didn't feel like we were in a groundbreaking era. It didn't feel like we were in the future in a place where people cared. You just never know how fast things can change. And just being so appreciative of your moment and being able to really immerse yourself in it. I don't know. I'm a big fan of it. I think it's a great thing to do.
Right. That's why I take a lot of pictures. I love taking pictures. I have like how many, like 100-something thousand photos on my phone right now, but I take pictures of everything. But then it's really fun to go back later.
Yeah, I'm very good at taking pictures of things and then doing nothing with them. They just sit there. I've been meaning to like go on, like to just like take a bunch, be like, I'm going to post like 2025 because I've let so many photos that I was just like, great time, great photos. Love it. Nothing. Sharing them with no one, even the people in them.
Yeah, well, with photos, what we do each year for my son is we take like all the cool things he did, or like we take a picture of his projects that he does or his concerts or whatever, and we put it in a book for the year.
Oh, I like love that.
We get them made each year so that we can refer to all the books and see all the things that he did that year.
But being able to have like that nostalgic, like, and now we're going to open this up, that's just really fun. And it's, again, a great way to document like the here and now. I like that. That's cute. So look, we told you about the history of a mining town. Classic True Creeps content. We're talking about
mining towns.
We love mining
and railroad
railroads and railroad towns. I mean, we did just have an episode where we talked about people digging into rocks, you know.
That's true.
We did.
Caving around.
One of my favorite episode titles. But let's get into what you're really here for, which is the paranormal stories. So people have reported hearing just kind of all around phantom phone rings, which I think is odd, and then pianos playing. Bizarre.
I've heard that story while there, and I did not want to hear that piano play.
Oh,
while
exactly.
In that room, like I'm like, please play, but don't.
Yeah,
maybe after I've left.
Yeah, play when it's like light out and I'm prepared to be afraid. Play when someone's there playing you. And honestly, you know what? There better be a fucking piano there if I'm gonna hear piano music, because that does fuck me up.
I had my back to it when we were in one of the rooms, if I remember right. And I was just like, please don't play right now. Like, I'm not prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that phantom sounds are one of the scariest types of paranormal experiences. In my youth, when I was investigating a place I definitely should have been, and it was totally fine, I was there with some friends and the guy I was dating at the time. And we were standing in a room looking at this old closet, and we heard a baby rattle right between us.
Absolutely not.
Why was that happening? There was nothing that would have made that sound. And it's not like there was a rattlesnake around. And then two of my friends.
Here, you'll have to be concerned
Jesus
if you hear a
Christ.
Rattle.
Christ. I didn't even think about the snakes.
They actually are waking up right now. Because
oh, yay.
It's pre-summer right now.
Pre-summer. And then two of my friends also heard music playing, but they heard different music coming from the same place.
Interesting.
I didn't like that. But anyway, we're talking about Vulture City paranormal stuff. So on Vulture's website, they talk about how they have a paranormal corner and it has haunted artifacts. So, of course, it has a doll named Dolly.
There's several dolls.
Yeah, there are several dolls. The first one's named Dolly, and she's haunted by the spirit of Izzy. She's been seen moving. People have also noticed 15-degree temperature spikes around her, which I think is interesting. And then EMF spikes.
Well, here everything just gets hotter, not
Of course
colder.
It does. Of course it does.
Yeah, you're welcome.
There's also Libby. She's a large doll that used to hang out in the brothel, as dolls often do.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
And she's inhabited by the spirit of a woman, which I would rather that be the case, you know? But when people are near her, they see her move, there's EMF spikes, but she also is known to communicate through like various different types of like equipment and such.
Yeah.
Okay. And this last one, I don't like. This makes me very uncomfortable. There's a pair of baby shoes that used to be in the doctor's office, and people experience high EMF readings near them. But also interestingly, when people take photos of them, there's often streaks and clouds of energy. We have a whole episode on spirit photography, and I'm really excited to take 1,000 photos of these on everyone's different phones at different angles with different lighting to see if anything happens. I'm excited about that in particular, but I don't like that it's baby shoes. That is unnervingly creepy.
So I will say, last time I was there for a paranormal event, there was an incident with some dolls. I do not remember the names of which ones. However, when we walked into a particular building, one of the employees was like, did one of you bring this doll? And we're like, no. Like, we often don't carry dolls with us when we go places, but okay. But the employee was like, this is interesting because I feel like the energy or something like that, either the energy or the dolls were throwing out things that weren't usual for a random evening. So they actually removed the doll and put it outside. They were like, we need this energy to stop. It was very bizarre because we walked in like at the tail end of it and we're like, wait, what is happening right
You're
now?
Like, okay, well, I'm sad I missed the beginning of this.
Start over now because I'm here and I want to hear about it.
It seems like they're very respectful to their dolls and the spirits that inhabit them. And they try to keep like a chill environment with them.
I do like that. I do want them to respect their ghost environment.
They do. Yeah. Yeah. And every person that I've met there has been super respectful of all of the spirits and like their stories and really like tries to preserve everything.
I do like that. Okay. So we talked a little bit about stuff that's going to be in the end of the episode. So here we are. We're back at the blacksmith shop. And per the Vulture City's website, the blacksmith shop is, quote, overseen by an enigmatic presence. I'm just loving the way we're describing people lately.
Yeah.
I would like to be an enigmatic presence. Enigmatic presence. Don't expect me. So apparently this enigmatic presence, it has a social limit, which I respect and appreciate because I too have a social limit. But if you're in there too long, it's like, enough of this. And it just starts banging the fuck around a lot. I'm excited to experience that. I'll be like, my bad. I too have a social limit. Go recharge. Yeah. Do it as you do whatever it is that you need to do. Enigmatic presence. There's also the post office, which is a Wells Fargo post office. And it has a window that faces the mine shaft. And there have been several photos from that window where you can kind of see an apparition between that and another structure.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah. And then the brothel. Apparently, you know how I don't like a ghost that feels like it's still working.
Of course.
The entities there are described as flirtatious. I don't know how I feel about that. People have experienced items moving and levitating, doors slamming, and then hearing music and laughter. Have you ever met somebody who assumes that because the barista was nice to them, that they probably have a crush on them?
Yes.
And people are like, they're flirtatious. And I'm like, no. They've learned that to be safe, they have to appease men. So I just wouldn't be surprised if we had a very different experience there.
Right, right. And I will say that in the like brothel area, there's a lot of energy happening there.
Mm.
And there's a couple different rooms. If I remember right, it's kind of like an L, I want to say. And there's like a bedroom, a big room. I want to say where the piano was. It's been a minute. And then another room. And the energy shifts depending on which room you're in from what I experienced. It could be a whole different experience with another group of people. And I'm very, very excited to see what happens while we're there.
I am too.
All right. So a building that we mentioned earlier was the Assay building. And we kind of described it, but this is where the gold was assessed for the quality and then it was appraised. And often this is where they also kept the gold. So it would hang out there for a bit. In this particular building, they experienced a few shootouts when bandits would try to steal the gold. I say likely on their evil horses. But from what we saw, it looks like it was successfully robbed twice. And during one of the robberies, the robbers killed the guard and then took off into the desert. And when they did, other guards eventually caught up to them and shot them. But I don't know when they discovered it, but it seems like nothing was actually stolen.
Hmm.
When they took the bodies back to town, the locals didn't want criminals buried in their city. So then the guards just took them back into the desert.
A weird thing to do.
Yeah, yeah. Now, this is considered the quote-unquote paranormal heart of the town. And other investigations have experienced large and imposing entities. And some of the paranormal investigation shows that have visited Vulture City have had experiences in this building. Some people have seen Henry Wickenburg in the smelting room. And a couple other reports have included things like shadows, disembodied voices, and a general sense of foreboding.
I also like to give a general sense of foreboding.
Okay, so what will the three lines be now?
Okay. An enigmatic presence. Don't expect me, but expect a general sense of foreboding.
And as she's saying this, she's like twirling her pen around like how it would be on a sticker.
Yes. Yes. Of course I am. Of course I am.
So the next place we also did mention already was the Hanging Tree. And not surprising, there have been many reports of hauntings near this tree. And visitors have reported hearing quick footsteps all around them. Some have even heard strange voices calling out the visitor's name.
That's a real mimic vibe, isn't it?
It is. And just like an incredibly weird thing to note, the Hanging Tree was just outside of Henry Wickenburg's old home.
Boy, wasn't it.
Seems like such a weird spot. The first time I went there, I was like, this is really close to this front door. Like, so close.
Like, someone liked the Hanging Tree too much. Like, why did we hang them there? Exactly. You had a lot of pull, my man. You didn't have to do it there.
Yeah, so I don't know if they decided that later. I'm hoping they just decided that later and not that he wanted to build his house right next to it. I don't know. We'll find out. But it's so close.
If there's other trees, I'm just going to be like, why?
There are other trees, but with Arizona being what Arizona is, trees don't make it very often.
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I'd be curious to see, like, how old the other trees look.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have to pay attention.
Look, if
to
we're
that.
Talking to Henry, I'm going to be like, why were they hanging people near your house?
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask. Henry, we've got questions.
So the tree was often used to hang high graders who were caught. And we kind of mentioned them, too. And when the miners sometimes stole, what they'd do is they'd steal the most valuable ore from the mine and then they'd use it for personal profit. They would either conceal it in like their clothing or their lunch pails and then sell it outside official channels. So they'd turn in some, but then like keep some for themselves.
Do you know what one of my favorite songs of all time?
Which one?
It is called One Piece at a Time by Johnny Cash. Uh-huh. And he talks about stealing a car one piece at a time from the factory. Mm-hmm. So he ends up having this car that has pieces from several years and it looks a little weird. Sorry, just made me think about that. Brought me a lot of joy. My face like lit up. But that's an interesting way of doing it.
It is, yeah. And of course, that was considered theft from the mine owners. And there were 18 men total who were hanged here.
Do you have a visceral reaction to the idea of someone dying for stealing some gold?
Mm-hmm. It seems real dumb.
It seems really dumb in like a very disproportionate response to kill someone for stealing something.
Yeah, for an item.
For an item. There's a reason why our country evolved to like no unjust punishment, right? And it's because why should your life be gone for property?
Mm-hmm.
And it's an interesting thing that we've circled back where a lot of people are like, oh, it's fine. If someone thinks you stole something. Because a lot of the times they thought they stole things. They didn't necessarily catch them every single time and have like a trial, right? Sometimes they were just hung. So it's interesting that we've kind of looped back to this idea that there is any situation in which property might be more valuable than human life.
Agreed.
Wild.
Yeah, it's not good. And to add another horrible note to this, some say that the men took hours to die. And that they were just kind of left there in the hot sun and then buried near the tree.
Disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, let's talk about the mines. Some claim that they can hear the cries of miners who died while in the cave. For example, Jimmy Davis, who was believed to have died in the mining accident, To start, we didn't see the story in a bunch of places, so we don't know how incredibly true this is, but he was trying to fix a belt in a pulley system, and then his arm got stuck. When he tried to get out, he was launched several feet while his arm was still stuck. The machinery smashed his body, and then he fell hundreds of feet to the floor of the mine. The story of Jimmy's death said that it took him about 5 hours to die, and people have also claimed to hear the sounds of a malfunctioning machine. Jimmy's spirit has also been seen at the entrance of the mine, as well as near the mine's powerhouse. Plus, the miners from the Glory Hole are believed to linger. People report cold spots near the head of the mine, and then also the feeling of being watched.
One of the things that I have said in the past when talking about areas where there's perhaps a really traumatic loop is that perhaps it's not the energy of whomever died there or had the horrific experience, but rather it's the traumatic imprint of someone who witnessed and experienced it. Because all of these events, they sound like what it would feel like to be a person who lived near the mine when this happened. It doesn't feel like a person who's experiencing the horror of it. It's like you're hearing the belt. You're hearing his screams. You're hearing this.
The people that reacted.
Yeah. And you're not having like intelligent communications with him. I am interested in seeing who we end up talking to.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to let a ghost convince me to go digging in a rock for 30 years for some gold.
I don't know. You haven't been in the mine yet.
I haven't. I haven't.
She's going to end up being like, you know what? We need to stay here and we need to mine till I die.
Actually, I'm really, we need to move 6 states away. Then we need to move our whole family to the middle of 35 acres, start digging in a rock, and get some investors.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Who knows where this trip will take us?
Who knows? So that leads us to Vulture City today. And the town is available for regular and paranormal tours. They also offer the opportunity to rent the entire town for ghost tours or events, like people
like
get
weddings.
Married there.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a cute little area for it too. And they do host a ton of community events that are amazing. We actually went to the Halloween event this last year.
Oh, fun.
Oliver won the costume contest.
Of course.
He tells everyone about it because he won $100 and in kid money. That's a lot.
I mean, I would love to win $100.
Oh my gosh, he was crazy. He was so happy. He's like, we need to go there every year now. They also have the cutest animals, which I'm excited for everyone to see because the first paranormal investigation I did there, anytime things got like a little too heavy or like weird, I would be like, all right, well, I'm going to go pet the animals for a minute.
That's what we did at Villisca. We were like,
yeah,
where's church?
Yes. Last time I was there in October, they did have little cows that were adorable, some goats. And one of the goats, one of the employees was like, oh, we can let them out for a little bit. And they were like walking around and one was so freaking smart. It would walk up and it would see that someone had food on the table and it would play it cool. It would walk up wanting pets. And as soon as the person took their body towards them to pet them, it would immediately go for the food.
It was like, thanks, stupid. And then like immediately got it. You know what? I appreciate
and then
the hustle.
They're like, you know what? Maybe they need to go back in their pen. And the goat's like, hell no.
They're like, he's a grifter.
It was funny. Like, it was hilarious. The goat was just like, absolutely not. I will be making friends right now.
I mean, sometimes it's what you gotta do.
Super stoked for that. And I know that they have like a homeschool day coming up where they're gonna do mock shootouts to show the kids like what
violence is.
Was like.
I just don't. I understand appreciating history, but I also do think that there's just some things that perhaps we should not glorify, which is
murder.
Killing people for gold and being awful to the people who were at land first. But I don't know how to
hopefully
phrase
they
that.
Just learn from that.
Don't do that.
They do have a lot of the employees there, at least a few times that I've been. They have them act in character for like the different buildings and stuff. So like we went, they had one of them take the kids around to trick or treat around the entire town.
Mm-hmm.
But like as the character of someone who like lived in the area.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. So they dress up and stuff. It was really cool. So I'm very excited to show everyone. Again, I've been on one paranormal investigation there and then just like some family events. The place has a lot of energy and all of the buildings, I can say at least when I was there, were different energies. Some were heavier than others. I'm not going to give away too much because I want honest feedback from everyone that's going without me giving too much away. And that's why this is kind of short and sweet too, because there are some other spooky things about this place, but I want everyone to have their own individual feelings after being there.
Yeah. And Amanda and I haven't like talked too much about like what to expect or anything like that. We actually haven't even like talked about like, oh, here's the equipment we want to bring or do anything, because I've got more stuff since the last time we did an investigation.
Yeah. So just everything. We're going to bring everything. We're going to go crazy. We're going to be look like we're moving in.
I just feel and like we should Lindsay's just bring a suitcase live in the mine. I'm not living in the mine. You're going to live in the mine. You're the mine girly. Okay, but on a real note, how funny would it be if someone had like a little creative shop that was called Minecraft, and it was like crafts that you did while in a mine, but it was like crochet or whatever.
I'm gonna not do a problem little YouTube videos, and I'm gonna be weeding stuff from my cricket down in the mine.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. Minecraft. You're like making like popsicle jewelry boxes and stuff. That's what the people want. That was like my Girl Scout crafts.
I love it. So, like we said, there's no new episode next week because we are going to be Minecrafting.
Here. Yeah.
We will be sharing with our patrons on our Discord and all of that fun stuff. So keep an eye out for some posts. We'll share what we can. I will say in that area, the service is not fantastic because you're just in the middle of the desert, nowhere.
Yep.
But we will be posting what we can when we can. And then we will share some with everyone as well on our social medias. So over the next weekend, keep an eye out.
Yeah, we're excited. And with that, have a great weekend.
Thanks for creeping with us.
Thanks for listening. And as always, a special thank you to our patrons who support us via Patreon.
Please see the link in our show notes to learn more about how you, yes you, can begin to haunt the dump, guard vortexes, or even become a scorching Sasquatch.
Ooh. Also in our show notes, you can find the link to our website, more information on our sources, our social media handles, and our merch store.
We'd love for you to keep creeping with us. So if you like this episode, please subscribe, rate, review, and share the show with your fellow creeps and or ghosts.
I beg of you. Sorry, your cat just popped the fuck up.
I know.
Hello.
Don't expect me.
Don't expect me. summer year round. Oh my gosh. Water and food had to be transported from the Hacienda settle. That isn't right. It's Hoboken all over again.
It was about 450 feet deep.
Damn.
And what's the...
Oh shit, my bad. Here I am slacking on my only purpose in life. My main skill.
She normally could just rattle it off.
49.5. So I did an investigation here. I'm not going to get to the details of it, but there was a person who... I think they sold haunted objects, but they at least had a social media presence with haunted objects, and they brought several haunted objects to the investigation, and several of them were children's toys that would be like activated and be kind of loud. And I just thought it was an interesting thing to do. To me, it has the same energy as going to someone's house for a party for the first time and you bring your dog who's food aggressive.
I mean, yeah, right? Yeah. Unless you bring in someone and or a dog that is very good at making friends and making everything cohesive and fun. Mm. Like, for instance, when I'd train, I used to bring one of my dogs to make everything feel better. And
But that's you training, though. The environment. Right? That's not you showing up to, like, I don't know, a random birthday party and being like, oh, I brought my dog. That's fine. Right.
I mean, please bring your dog everywhere, yeah.
If they're food aggressive in the middle of a party, it's neither here nor there.
The people shouldn't be eating. I'd rather be with the dog.
Look, I'm just saying it felt like a weird thing to bring.
It is. It's a little weird.
I just feel like don't bring your haunted dolls to the other haunted things, because it's also a great way of getting a false positive. Like, if you're like, yeah, this thing is hella haunted, you brought like BYOG, like, you don't bring your own ghost, baby. You're here to talk to other ghosts. Is that ghost vouching for you?
Unless they like to socialize with other ghosts.
Oh, I do not like that. Do not like that.
What if they ask for new friends?
A ghost play date?
Yeah. Oh, how cute.
Okay, but hear me out. I'm a hermit. If someone was like, I would like to talk to you, I'm here to chat with you. And I was like, oh, hi. They're like, I brought you a friend you didn't ask for. It depends on my mood on how well I'm going to do with that. I'm going to be real with you.
But I'm saying, what if the spirits within there have almost reached out and said, like, you know,
like come play with us?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I, as a person who's not a ghost, am not aware of that. So I am going to judge the other person just slightly for bringing their haunted dolls to a haunted location.
That could be a dangerous thing, for sure.
Just, that's what I'm saying. It depends on the
environment.
Like, and other people don't know that what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. Unless it's heavily researched and that is a chill environment that welcomes that. I feel like it's like a yes or no, depending on where you're going and what the history and who lives there and all of that fun stuff. You know, my favorite thing.
Amanda loves a mine. She's a mine girly.
I am. Yeah. That's why I live here. I love to mine.